Hello and welcome back to The Furnace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you and I both know that we ought to take care of our bodies. Physical health through exercise, sleep, and a balanced diet. Avoiding excess through the virtue of temperance, especially in the use and abuse of food, alcohol, or drugs. All these things are common sense for the Christian and for any reasonably healthy person. And yet there is a kind of what you call the cult of the body, which can lead people into a kind of idolatry by making the body a kind of idol. Those who want the perfect body or the overly obsessive pursuit of physical health are such things that can easily take the place of God in our lives. The Catechism says that if morality requires respect for the life of the body, it does not make it an absolute value. It rejects a neo-pagan notion that tends to promote the cult of the body, to sacrifice everything for its own sake and to idolize physical perfection and success at sports. Now, this is not to take a shot at anyone because I love personally exercising and being fit, but the point I want to make is the fundamental human experience that we never seem to be quite at home with our physicality. We see that most clearly today in the anxiety that has come through the coronavirus and the need to find a cure and vaccine as quickly as possible. And yet we have bodies, and our bodies are good. But ultimately we are wounded by original sin. So we naturally desire something of a perfect body, and our pop culture shows this, especially with our superhero movies, giving us, you know, characters with superhuman abilities or special powers, showing to us that there is some part of us that wants to transcend the limitations of our physicality. Have you ever wondered why we have those desires in us, for physical improvement at the very least, or perfection at best? Because ultimately, it's a revealing to us that this desire for perfection in our bodies is really a yearning for that which is fulfilled in the resurrection. Because we say in the Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. But what does that really mean? In other words, what will our bodies be like after the resurrection? So we're in the third Sunday of Easter, and we continue following Jesus in the resurrection of his body. Today's scene from the Gospel of Luke shows that Jesus appears out of nowhere to the disciples and says, "Peace be with you," such that they were in a state of alarm and fright because they thought they were seeing a ghost. In another scene, Jesus just happens to pass through a locked door. He just appears and then disappears all of a sudden. He shows us his wounds, but there is no more suffering. Today they think Jesus is a ghost, but then a few moments later he's eating fish with them. Now you may be thinking that may be all well and good, and you may be like, so what? Christ is doing Christ-like things. But the principle that we ought to take into account, and this is the important point here, is that when we ask what will our bodies be like after the resurrection, the Bible reveals that Christ's risen body becomes the pattern for what our glorified body will be like. As St. Paul says to the Philippians, "We await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself." Now ponder that for a second. We will be like that. Like Christ's glorious body, that there will be certain qualities of the resurrected body that will conform to Jesus' own resurrected body, that Christ's resurrection is also a revelation about us and our future destiny. In other words, there is a kind of new normal in the resurrection. Now, of course, you may be wondering, what are these qualities as such? Now, I'm going to continue this discussion over the next maybe 2 or 3 days in the next episodes of what St. Thomas Aquinas and other theologians call the four qualities of the resurrected body. And they are these: impassibility, subtlety, agility, and clarity. And, you know, as we go on, these four qualities can be inferred from the accounts of the risen Christ, and we shall go through them in the next episodes. But until then, let us remember that the resurrection is not a return to what things were or some mere restoration of things, but the resurrection is about glorification, about sharing in the victory of the risen Christ who has come to change our bodies too. Let us pray. May your people exult forever, O God, in your renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.